Welcome to Crypto Talk Radio, the podcast for everyday investors like you. Visit us on the web at cryptotalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Thank you for that, Bailey, and welcome everybody out there in Crypto Talk Radio, found at cryptotalkradio.net. Right down to the wire, even through the fire, although it may feel this way with some of the price movements and everything, that it's right down to the wire with some of the prices. And I know I saw online, I'm laughing a little, not at people, I'm laughing at the situation. I saw online some people are attacking some of the YouTube influencers who are making predictions. Some are doing technical and then they're making a call. And then some are just outright making statements of definitive fact. And then the comments are absolutely hysterical. I'm not advocating that you follow any of them. If you do, you do. I'm not advocating you do. But if you do, you may have noticed. I mean, that's my pleasure. You know, like the movie, that's my pleasure is seeing when comments attack the YouTube influencers. I don't know. It seems, and I watched a few of them, you know, and I see a pattern here with crypto specifically. The ratings, the views, the interactions, everything, it goes down when it's just positive coverage. It's just normal routine coverage. Like even Happy Caddy Crypto, his is down. Adam Coins, who I watch his on occasion, his is really just technical analysis. His is down. Everybody's is down that just does positive stuff. But then when they do the drama episodes, those get ratings. The views are like 3 times, 4 times, 5 times their normal counts. Like with Happy Caddy, he did a bunch of videos where he was exposing some shady business with other validators, and those got way more views than the rest of it. Please, when he gets attacked by some of the commenters and he responds and he, you know, chooses or does whatever, or he's crapping on a token, they get crazy. So I always get frustrated because I'm not a YouTuber. I'm a podcaster that happens to have a YouTube channel, but I'm a podcaster. CryptoTalkRadio.net. We're not a YouTube influencer. I'm just a podcaster. I talk about this stuff. But I'm also a listener. You know, I listen to other people's stuff, but I'm looking for the entertainment value. You know, that's, I don't want it for the technical because I'm a fan of teaching people how to fish. So mine is really the educational, boring stuff. It's not designed to entertain, although entertaining may be smattering in what I do. It's not intentional. It just happens that way. But with the others, I'm expecting them to be entertaining. I think Rodney, Fudney, Crypto Journeys, whatever, I think he tries to be, but I find him corny as all get out. And then, you know, there's the clown shows. There's the, you know, B-Roots, that client, he's a clown. And then the other on-chain, he's a clown. Like there's the clown. And they consider themselves entertaining. And apparently they've got an audience. So I'm not knocking the hustle. Car Salesman and Seifu, he's got an audience. I don't know why. And I was going to talk about, and I will talk about today's episode. I happened to stumble across Daniel Prado's stuff on YouTube because he spun up a channel. He got like 200 views on a video talking about the Car Salesman. And so this guy, he's been exposed. Put it that way. He's been exposed. He can come at me, it's whatever, but he got exposed because he was one thing and then he turned into something else and people called him out on his bullshit. And so then he's now doing coverage very similar to what I was doing, but it's like after the fact. Now I didn't see him. Maybe he did do it because I didn't go deep in his channel. Maybe he did talk about it. I didn't see him recant some of the stuff he was doing when he was having Stockholm syndrome, yelling and screaming at people that came at him, telling them that Brian was a scammer. I didn't see him come back and apologize and give those people their credit for calling him out and saying, dude, the guy's a scammer. He was backing the dude. He was all on it. And I'm going to talk about what he said in this video that I noticed. I don't have any personal stuff, thank goodness, but I will be getting the car situated this weekend, hopefully. Hopefully. And then I'm talking to the bank about buying something that's somewhat exciting. And I'm doing some other stuff on the business side. You know, I got to get ready for taxes. I got to get all this other nonsense. And so I also got another desk for the Endeavor, so I'm going to be taking the desk I'm talking right now on, and I'm going to be moving it, and this will be the last step for me to get ready for the studio, to get live, so I can go back on video. Hercules, Hercules, that's coming. Because once I move the desk, the camera, like right now it's set up, but I don't have the right setup for lighting and placement, and this will be that last piece. So everything's getting situated for me to get back live, and I'm kind of excited to do that, and I'm going to be doing some traditional coverage as it is. So follow along on this journey. We're going to talk a little bit of cryptocurrency. And then I am going to be giving some updates from Robinhood that I just got. All right, let's talk some numbers. We're going to go to Coindesk.com. We're going to zoom out to the month chart, and I'm going to start with Ethereum because Ethereum had a little bit less of a nonsensical drop than Bitcoin. So I'm going to, let's get the easy stuff out of the way, and then we'll circle back on Bitcoin because Bitcoin was an absolute nightmare of epic proportions. So with Ethereum, it was climbing, and then it dropped, and I talked about this on the last week's episode, and I said that, you know, it looked like it was pointing downward. I didn't see a crap out, but it looked like it was pointing downward. The trend is still upward trend, but it dropped quite a bit. A low of 31.5, a high of 35, heavy volatility, a big span, a big drop, big span, currently hovering around the 3,100, just shy of 3,200 mark, has not recouped much of that loss. So what we're in, what I see, is just a bunch of people selling still, and that'll wane off, and we're going to get back on some buys. And there's some other news that cause some positive. So the trend is still upward. It may not feel like it, trust me. And this is why I keep telling people to take your mother, father, and prophets. They don't want to listen to me because I give my credit. But I did say, take your mother, father, and prophets because you just don't know what this business and nobody listens. You know, if you're a gambler, I can't tell you what to do with your money. I'm saying I would recommend you just take your profits because I expected some volatility. I didn't expect a major amount of sustained run. I figured we'd get a run and there's going to be some profit taking. Unfortunately, we also had some liquidations of the things that contributed, and that's going to be a pattern, I believe, for the duration of the year. We have to see what happens with the halving. We have to see if the halving offsets some of what I'm seeing, but traditionally, I see that we're going to see some volatility, period. Now, let's talk a bit about Bitcoin, because Bitcoin, I think, scared a lot of people. A low of 61.5, a high of 68,000, currently hovering just shy of 62,000. Significant spread in that loss. It was a pretty significant dump. It had almost went as high as 74 grand and then dropped down to like 61 grand. So people were freaking out that, okay, Disney, it's not. It's just, there will be volatility. There will be. And if you learn nothing or hear nothing or retain nothing from listening to Leister at CryptoTalkRadio.net, it is to make sure you're taking profits. Please don't just sit, unless you're a gambler, please don't just sit and let it go because there's profit opportunities to be had. You can make some money. And consider if it goes up and you take the profits and it goes back down, you can buy back in at a lower point. So it negates it. It washes it. Now, or you could just let it ride and just say whatever and see how much higher it goes. That's gambling. But if it's what you want to do, it's what you want to do. I'm just saying these were great profit opportunities. I made amazing amounts of money, you know, just doing what I just described. You know, wait till it goes high and I sell it and wait till it goes low and I buy. So I bought in. I actually bought in some hex because it had bottomed out. And then it just recently started running again after Mr. Twerk in your face did his business, because I speculated that some people might buy at the dip. They might buy back into hex in defiance to what he was saying. And even if you didn't buy it on Ethereum, you could buy it on the Pulse chain if you figured it out, you know, how to do it, because there's Ethereum hex there. Now, of course, he made crap on it again and killed the business. That's always a risk. But I expected there was going to be some opportunity to make a little bit of money, and it was. Because the run-up, you could have tossed just a couple $100 in the thing, and it would have 10x with what just happened. So these are all opportunities that spin around that you have to look for if you're looking to make some money quick. I would just take profits when you can and not sit on it. Once again, for the third time, it's your money. I can't tell you what to do. I'm just saying I would recommend that you make sure that you're taking profits at all times because it's your money. You're entitled to do that. You're entitled to win. But the big millions and millions, you know, it's whatever. The other piece is it seems like there's a lull. And by a lull, what I mean is, at least in the United States, I don't see the same level of excitement that I would have expected with the run-ups. You know, the total market cap as we trend, $2.36 trillion is down from the $2.7 trillion, but significantly higher than the $1 trillion we had just late last year. So I'm surprised to see that there's very few United States people excited about the current state of cryptocurrency. And it may be what I speculate. People just dialed out and they stopped following it and they're missing out on these opportunities. And that this is good and bad. It's bad because some of these people missed out on profit. It's good because at some point they're going to realize it because the news is going to talk about it and they're going to FOMO into the stuff. And that will trigger more of a significant run later, likely on the tail end of the halving. So if you're still in it this long, kudos to you. If you got out and you still listen to the show just to kind of follow it, so you got your ear on the pulse, cool. Just understand there's a lot of people out there that don't listen to the show. And I would say to you, spread the word and let them know this guy here, he's got level headed and he's calling it straight down the middle. He's not telling you to jump in any garbage. He's telling you to keep it straight. And for the most part, I think I've been pretty accurate and fair on what I cover. I don't cover garbage on purpose. I'm totally different than what I was in 2021. And that's intentional. It's because this is a different run. It's not the same as what it was before. We don't have the same, I don't see the same people talking about the same kinds of crap that we had. You know, there's not a lot of rebase tokens. There's not a lot of reflection tokens. Like, it's a totally different era. Now it's really just a transfer of wealth. Whatever's trending, right? Whatever is a hashtag that trends seems to become a token, and that's it. It's that simple. Well, that means that there's still profit opportunity to be made without having to worry about sketchy mechanics. There's obviously the tokens that spin up and they say they're going to do something, and you have to gauge whether those are worth your time. I'm just saying, from what I see, it looks like it's a different era, so I don't cover it the same way. I am planning to get back on the studio just because, you know, I want to interact with folks. And so if you're interested in that, just keep a tail end on, join our Discord, by the way, if you want these kinds of updates, cryptotalkradio.net/Discord. And just join up and I give updates there. Our episodes post there. That's where you're first going to hear about new things coming down the pipe. The last piece, which is kind of a spoiler, but I guess I'll just put it out here and now. Luther Vandross, 1977, I believe. I'll just put it out. So there's a plan. And when I say it's a plan, it means it's not confirmed. There's a plan for a token to be launched under our Triad brand. In order for me to make that, to justify doing it, I would need some more Triad signups. I'm not asking you to do it. I'm just explaining the reason I haven't done it yet is because I have to be able to support it through the Triad subscription, because the Triad subscription gives you tokens. So as they're distributed to people, they're distributed as being a holder. It's not like it's just free, you know, like airdrops to random mother fathers. It is, I'm distributing it to known people. The known people have invested, but not invested to the token. They've invested in the membership. And by doing so, they're entitled to have access to the token. At which point, if there's enough people that express interest in doing that, then I can launch the token potentially on the public side. And then I have to load the initial liquidity and do an outreach I'm talking just a regular token. We're not talking anything fancy, just a regular token. It wouldn't do anything other than be a benefit, a perk of being a member. Or just basically, you know, you sign, you can go and buy it. But there would not be enough memberships to make that make sense. That's why I haven't launched it yet, because I don't have enough memberships to make that make sense for the number of holders up front that I would want to have, you know, holding the token at that point. It's still on deck, but I don't aggressively push the Triad. It's just kind of out there. If people are interested, cryptotalkradio.net. And then there's Triad at the top. And you can check that and read up on all the benefits and what that does if you are interested in it. And feel free to ask cryptotalkradio.net, hit the contact form, or on our Discord if you have questions about what that means. There will be some sort of outreach later that I'm strongly considering as part of the business brand. And what that would do is it would kind of just rebrand the membership a little bit. It doesn't change the benefits. It changes how we provide it, how we sustain it, how we manage it, everything else under the hood. Then I would do an outreach for the token as part of it and do landing pages and the whole campaign stuff, just to let people know this is out here. If this is something of interest, here's the membership, here's the perks, here's what you do. And then if I were able to get enough memberships, then I would proceed with the token launch. So that's what's on deck, potentially. Haven't committed, because right now is the right time, especially because the alt networks are getting more traction, and I was already on Avalanche and some other ones with some things that I was doing. So that's on deck. Keep ears out for that. I have one quick, I don't want to call it news, but just kind of an FYI public service announcement I guess I'll bring to your attention. If you're in Robinhood, and I'm, listen, I have a Robinhood account. I don't use the damn thing because, I'll tell you the story real quick. So I had a Robinhood account and I was doing it for the stock side because I was living in Nevada. And Nevada, Robinhood refused to do cryptocurrency to Nevada citizens. So I couldn't do crypto, but I was doing the stock trading side and options and other stuff. And it was, you know, it was all right. I wasn't really impressed with it as a tool. I have other banks, actual banks, where I was doing, you know, and am doing stock trades. And it's much better for me in the way that I trade. So I just kind of abandoned the account and said, whatever. And then I moved out of Nevada. And then after I moved out of Nevada, so I hadn't updated my address. I haven't touched the Robinhood account since then. After I moved out of Nevada, these jokers sent me an email saying, all right, you can trade crypto now. Doop, doop, doop. And I'm like, man, you mother father. So then the card, right? You get a card, the debit card, cash card, they called it. They said, okay, we're changing it. Because under the hood, they changed the kind of bank that's under the hood to where it's a different type of account. And this pissed me off initially, and I read it, and I'm like, okay, I understand what you're doing, and you're doing it because you don't want the risk of it and all that, and I understand, and you can basically delegate it to multiple banks, and I understand it, which makes it very close to my primary bank in the way that they work. So, okay, fine, I'll go ahead and do that. So they sent me the card, little green whatever deal, sent me the card. Okay, fine, I'll pull out the card, I'll go on my computer, and I'll activate it. They don't let you activate on the fucking computer. Sorry, that's what it is. They force you to have a mobile app to activate the card. Now, let me just explain to you activating a debit card. What activating a debit card really is. Activating a debit card is nothing more than verifying the address, verifying the card number, and choosing a PIN. That's verification. Because if it was mailed to you, you have to validate something that the other person wouldn't know if it was stolen. You'd have to be able to validate something that person wouldn't know. So that's why they ask you for your last four digits of your social or something else, right? So there's no reason for a mobile app to activate a card. There's no reason for it. It doesn't do anything other than validate information. You just put up a simple form or do a phone queue where you can do it that way. I would rather they just put a simple web form. By the way, the web form would still work on a mobile phone. Simple web form, ask the prompts, you enter the prompts, it activates the thing, and you go. So that thing's been sitting under one of the cushions of my couch for like months. I've had it since, August, July? Because I refuse. When they build a web interface where I can use my computer to activate the damn thing, then I'll consider activating it. Separate from that, I was like, I don't really use it. I don't really need it. There's no value having it. Because you can go online on the computer and trade on it. So there's no I can't use the card, and that's the only real value it has. It doesn't have value as crypto because it's crap. They don't offer hardly anything on there. I think it only has like SHIB, Ethereum, and Bitcoin. Well, that's a waste of my time. I have way more on Kraken. You can't use the freaking card because they want you to do a mobile app. I don't have a smartphone. There will not be a mobile app. I refuse. I do have a tablet. I refuse to install an app just to activate a card. I will not do it. I refuse. So, okay, I got to waste a card. It's an account that doesn't do any good. Crypto that's garbage. So it's like, what are you good for? Absolutely nothing. That's it. That's what it is. I get an email from these guys. This was today, earlier this morning. And I figured I would share it because some other people might actually like Robinhood, as garbage as they are. New interest rate effective May 8th. We're letting you know that this cash sweep, so this is what they changed under the card. That's why I told you the preface story. Cash sweep interest rate will switch, aka drop, from 1.5% to 0.01%. To earn more interest on your uninvested cash, join Robinhood Gold to get 5% APY. That's 8 times the national average savings rate. As a reminder, your deposits are safe with up to $2.25 million in FDIC insurance at program banks. There's no cap on what you can earn. You can access your money at any time. So, two parts to this. Number one, and I don't know if this is everybody or they're doing it for me because I essentially abandoned the mother father, but cutting the rate from 1.5 to 0.01%. So this is fresh off that whole business of, like I said, they switched the account underneath the card from one type of account that was really decent, good, to this new one. And then now what they're saying is, yeah, we basically cut your rate to essentially nothing. 0.01% is nothing. That's not 1%, by the way, for those who suck at math. That's not 1%. It's 1% of 1%. It's basically nothing. You might as well not even have it. And the reason they're doing this and that is to push or shill their Robinhood Gold crap. Nobody's going to sign up for a Robinhood Gold to get a higher rate when there are other services out there that already offer the higher rate for no service fee. So I kept saying, when people were squawking about SHIB not being listed on Robinhood, and I said, Robinhood is crap. Why aren't you just buy your SHIB? It's on every other damn exchange. Why are you waiting on Robinhood? They're crap. This is why I said that, because Robinhood is absolute crap. I'm sorry. That's what they are. And this stunt that they just pulled of 0.01%, like, it's so insulting. They might as well not even send the damn email. I know they legally have to, but they might as well not even contact it. They might as well not even offer a rate. Because it's nothing. You might as well offer nothing because what's the fuck? So if you're in Robinhood, I don't know if you got the email. I don't know if you're going to get the email. I'm sharing it because there's a chance you might get the email. There's a chance they may cut your rate to bare bones nothing. And you're going to have to decide if it's even worth doing it. What does this apply to? This applies essentially to uninvested money. So if you don't, what they're trying to do is they're trying to force you to invest in something. They're trying to force you to trade because they get fees and then they take a cut and that's how they make their money. If you just sit on uninvested money, they don't make any money. Meanwhile, you can go out and you can do all sorts of stuff. Well, they get the swipe fees from the card. So it's not like they get zero. They get swipe fees using the card. If it just sits in the account, uninvested and unspent, it's just money not going anywhere. Well, the thing is, normally banks are supposed to pay interest because they have an interest in spreading that money out. The whole reason they changed this away and the way they did the structure, they were trying to move away from the traditional banking thing that got many of these exchanges in trouble, which is, okay, I've got, and I think Celsius was most notable for this, and FTX definitely was. So I've got all this money from all these different customers. I'm going to take this money in a central pool, and I'm going to reinvest that money in other stuff that the exchange benefits from. Robinhood was trying to move away from that model because they didn't want to run afoul of the SEC. That's what triggered all this type of a change. Now that it's no longer the traditional bank structure, and now that they can no longer benefit off retrading your money, that's why they're no longer willing to pay you the right rate for holding it. There's no financial benefit for them to do so. It's not out of the goodness of their heart that they even offered it. They did it because they make some money and they're throwing you a little bit of something. And now that little bit of something turned into basically a little bit of nothing. So that's why I'm so adamantly pissed about what they're doing, because they might as well have given you nothing on the rate. I said, though, in response to what happened with MEXC very recently, they have it in their terms that they can absolutely do that. That's part of the reason why I abandoned Robinhood, because I said, what good are you? You're not any good. You're a piece of crap. So I'm sharing that word in case you are in Robinhood and you are interested in it, whether you got it or not. It may be coming your way. I can't say it will or won't. I'm just sharing it in anticipation of the possibility that it does. Now, I'm going to close out with this business from Daniel Prado. So there may or may not be some people listening on the show who came from the Seifu ecosystem, whether you were diehards or not. You may have come from the ecosystem. So you may have at some point been in a Seifu for something or other and you're aware of it, right? Because maybe you jumped into multiple things and maybe you stumbled across our channel on YouTube because we covered the car salesman. I don't know. There may be people who are aware of it. So if you're aware of it and you followed it online, you already know the name Daniel Prado. Daniel Prado, for those who don't know, I said on my recent, he comes across like, he looks like he's from the mob. He's not, but he looks like he is, right? His girl's kind of cute, sure. But this guy, he was going, like with Brian, the car salesman, he was going nuts on this whole thing with Seifu. He was yelling and screaming at people who were coming at him, telling them that this car salesman is a scammer and he's going to rip you off and, you know, this is a scam and why are you shilling this? He was yelling back at it. He was doing videos in his car, yelling and screaming, you know, things like, and I think he was doing one he did in response to the CoffeeZilla too. And he's like, you're not going to do a goddamn thing. Like, I'm serious. This guy was just nuts. Hair was frazzled, sweating, just balls out nuts. I just kind of ignored it because I'm like, okay, something's wrong with this dude. Because it's obvious there's something shady going on. And anybody with any common sense can see something shady's going on. And nobody should be this fervent about some cryptocurrency project. This is nuts. This is cult. This is Stockholm syndrome, right? Fast forward and they have a falling out. So then now car salesman was sending some attack tweets to Prado. And Prado has been doing videos. He has a YouTube channel. And he's been doing videos where he's talking about how Seifu was a scam. And he recently put up a video about this new hectic turkey garbage that the car salesman released. And he was doing a comparison side by side with Seifu's chart and the hectic turkey. And he was saying, you know, I'm in the know. I know all this stuff about what was going on with Seifu. And it wouldn't surprise me because, again, this guy was as loyal as freaking puppies. I don't know. So it wouldn't surprise me. He does have some inside knowledge. Well, he was saying these large red dumps, what he was describing, this part I can't confirm, but what he was describing is that Seifu, when it did the pre-sale, okay, so it was like $15, he said that car salesman had bought $25,000 prior to the pre-sale, so before anybody else could get in, so the lowest possible price, that car salesman allegedly bought $25,000 worth of it in order to, and then launch the pre-sale so that people jumped in off of this FOMO run, right? So now it's pumping. And there's FOMO because they did all this hype and everything. And what he was describing is that later, essentially car salesmen started dumping bags to the tune of like $500,000 here and this. In other words, he's saying that it wasn't that car salesmen took out of the liquidity. He's saying that car salesmen basically had a stash of tokens before anybody else got them, that he had tokens from prior to the pre-sale, which allowed him to strategically dump at key points of the project. The reason I don't think he has the whole story and why I was questioning is car salesman himself even openly admitted he had the keys to the treasury or the fire pit, one of the two. He had openly admitted he had the keys to this business. We saw that there were cells coming from the treasury wallet. Well, if he admitted he had the keys to the treasury wallet, but we see sales coming from the treasury wallet, what can that mean? It means he had to have been selling out of the treasury. So I'm saying it's possible that car salesman had some tokens that he bought in and then dumped off of it, but it doesn't negate what he said, which is that he was dumping out of the treasury as well. So I'm saying when Prado was over there just fervently defending this dude, I don't know what the hell was going on with this guy, because it was obvious that shady stuff was going on, and I called that out, where somebody, him or someone connected to him, clearly was doing these kinds of dumps. And to think otherwise is a form of Stockholm syndrome, is essentially what I said. Well, then he goes a little bit further. He calls out this Schmidt group, which I had never heard this. Allegedly, and I didn't see any of this, but allegedly, there's some sort of a Schmidt group, which is a backer that came in and was doing some of these dumps as well, that they had bought major amounts of bags and then were part of these large dumps early on in Safeway's stuff when it started. So after it hit the 330 and they started crapping, like the immediate crap, that there, he was saying Schmidt Group was somehow in as part of this. I did a little research. The theory going around is that Schmidt Group is basically some kind of a shell company where it's still car salesman under the hood. It's not really a different company. It's just car salesman hiding underneath the wings of a company. So it's like a double-pronged wash trading. So think of it this way. You do a token launch. You do a whole bunch of hype and marketing and all this other stuff. And even to the degree that you say that there's some large backers that are going to be buying into this business, you create a shell company, potentially take out a loan, because this is how elaborate this could have been. And I'm theorizing. I'm just spitballing. You take out a loan underneath the shell company. So you have, let's say, $100,000 or, you know, $200,000, whatever, under the shell. Under your personal, you take $25,000 from money you ripped off other projects. So now you do this launch of a token. Before then, you buy into the token early. So you have the rock bottom price. Let's say that's a penny or something. I don't know. So you have a major bag of all these tokens. You continue to do this. You tell your shell company, whether it's you doing it or somebody else, you tell your shell company to strategically do some buys. So now it's not a bot. It's a legit something doing a buy, but it's really you under the hood. That's wash trading, right? So because it's your own token. So you do all these buys to trigger more FOMO run. FOMO run, FOMO run, green run, run, run. It's a rebase token. It has a constrained supply, which means the price climbs faster. When it hits a peak, you on the personal side do a major sell. So that's and you've told people there's large backers in the process. You didn't tell them it was you. So there's nothing really wrong because you bought your own tokens. Buying your own tokens prior to the launch is unethical. It's not illegal, but it's unethical. After it's launching, if you take your own money and you're buying your own token to give the illusion of volume that isn't real, that's wash trading. So if that's true, what happened, I can't say it is, but if that's true, what happened, it explains the visual behavior of the graph that we saw, which is essentially a form of wash trading through him and a shell company, all backed by his own money that he used to essentially drain liquidity off everybody else. Well, this starts to get a little gray area because technically was anything done illegal? Technically, no. And if it was, you can't really prove it, which is probably why he's getting away with it each and every time. Because if he's got this shell company over there and he's doing all the other stuff, well, how can you prove that's him? How can you prove it's that money? It's a shady something. I was intrigued hearing about this old different thing. Now, not because I'm interested in the project, I'm not, but I was intrigued because it got me thinking, that's how he's getting the hell away from all this time. That's how he's getting away with all this business. And it made me laugh with the whole stuff of Car Salesman 2.0 and Car Salesman 3.0, where Car Salesman was ridiculing those guys and they're grifters defined. I don't even know what happened to them. They're grifters defined. But his is just a simple set of, you know, I'm just going to strategically buy a whole bunch of tokens early on and then dump off of them. And I was the largest holder, but it wasn't like I was the owner holding wallets that were not distributed. They were in circulation, but I was able to buy them at the lowest price point because I control the launch and it's a pre-sale. And it's intriguing. It's fascinating. The level of complexity of the alleged scam that was presented under Seifu. And it got me thinking, and I'm just spitballing, got me thinking with the Hectic Turkey, the same thing will happen, but also some of the other past ones, you know, Titano. Remember when Titano blacklisted the whale, they stole that whale's money. And then they relaunched the contract. And I said, you know, this contract, man, I scanned it. It looks like it's a scam. Titano hasn't been seen since. Fino hasn't been seen since. Libero got killed, but that's because the devs keep spinning up shinies, and they still are spinning up shinies even now. All of these other ones that we saw around that time, they're gone. They're all gone. There's no competition in that whatsoever. There's Libra, which is a different, completely different protocol that's out there on the Solana chain. And I was watching that one. It hasn't gone anywhere. It hasn't done anything, but we don't see the same level of that. And so it got me wondering, tenfold though I may be, if it's the same person or people, because of the similarities between what happened to all their charts. Fascinating stuff. If you were in any of those, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, it is what it is. But I figured I'd share this with the Seifu and the car salesman, because and Prado had to know. You know, Prado was so, I'm sorry. I know he'll get pissed off. I don't really care. But I can only describe this as being a member of the Brian Legend Kiss My Ass Club, because the dude was just so, he was at the point of screaming at people and threatening people in defense of the car salesman. I've never seen somebody of the same gender be so defensive of somebody that way. Like, it's fine if you want to be defensive of a friend, but to be to the point that you're yelling and screaming at the top of your lungs, your hair is all wild and crazy and buckshot, to defend your buddy, it just, you know, and for what? A cryptocurrency, numbers on a blockchain causes you to go balls out nuts. I've never seen anything like it since or before. So hopefully we don't see it again. He seems like he's calmer now. He needs to fix his mic. But other than that, he seems like he's calmer now. That's good. And it seems like he's woken up. The down point is somebody else called him out and he said, you know, he's always open to business opportunities. So he's just as sketchy as the rest of them, because essentially he doesn't care. It's not about the ethics and the morals. He doesn't care that he got ripped off, and he's willing to lie in the bed, as it were, with a scam artist if it means money. If he wants to do that for himself, that's fine. But if you're going to entice other people to get ripped off, I can't support that, bro. He can do what he wants to do with his own money. But people that are like that, that are willing to get other people ripped off, I'll call them out every time I'm aware of it. But I don't want to talk about that crap. You know, I want to talk about, I don't want to overpraise crypto, but I don't want to talk about crap either. You know, it's, give me something that's a little bit of a challenge. You know, there's no challenges out there. Maybe I'll do a little bit of deep dive on the Libra protocol, because it's intriguing, at least. What they're trying to do. I just don't know if there's anything to it. And then I do owe you guys, by the way, I will do a talk point on Launchpad XYZ. And that's really more a public service announcement. It's not a swag. It's just, I want to make you guys aware of something that I learned about that project. In the meantime, everything will go back up, folks. It's down. It's trending slightly down, but it'll go back up. We'll go on a run again. And as we get closer to the halving, you're going to see some buy the rumor, sell the news happening. And that's going to cause some pump. So I would implore you to take your profits, because you just can't tell these hoes ain't loyal.